The catchphrase for this sermon series has been, if we can trust God with our souls, why not with our resources? And over the past few weeks, we have searched the Bible to gain an understanding about tithes, two masters, lying to the Holy Spirit, and offerings. And my desire this morning is to wrap up this series with one final charge, one last hurrah, and to focus on growing in the grace of giving. Our scripture comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. I'm going to invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. I know you're all eyes are fixed on something below me. You're all just wondering what's going to happen this morning. You'll have to stay tuned. It's going to be great. We're going to read the scripture together in one voice. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality, as it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and how you speak through him to the churches. And you're speaking to our church today. You're speaking to our very hearts. God, I pray that we would be a church that is not stagnant. We'd be a church that's not in maintenance mode. We'd be the type of church that grows in the grace of giving. Father, you have given us so much. You gave us your son. You gave him as a sacrifice for all sin. You sent him to earth to save us. So Father, all we can say is thank you. Lord, let our giving reflect our thanksgiving. We ask for your blessing this morning. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. You may be seated. One of the pastors I used to serve under always used to repeat this leadership mantra. Healthy things grow and growing things change. Healthy things grow and growing things change. And we call this process the process of sanctification, where you and I grow and become more and more like Jesus Christ. Our first and natural tendency is to stagnate in the grace of giving. This means to receive the grace of God in our lives and to do absolutely nothing with it. Friends, what a waste of grace. What a waste of God's precious grace. Our second natural tendency is this, to maintain in the grace of giving. And this means to receive God's grace and that to stay consistent in the grace of giving. Now, that doesn't sound like a bad thing, does it? Sounds like a good thing, to be consistent, to maintain, to take things and be consistent in it. But we realize that there's something more at play today. Maintenance can mask itself as growth. The challenge this morning is to do this, to grow in the grace of giving. And this means that the current level of the grace of giving in your life is not a plateau. It is a platform. We all are growing in the grace of giving. The grace of giving is like that 70s and 80s game they call Jenga. I need some help this morning. Oh, I see one eager hand right here. Please come on. Join me right around here. I need just two more people. Would you help? You guys are not participating today. In the green, yes, please. In the back, Lydia, come on, help me. Wonderful. We're going to play a game of Jenga, my favorite game. And I don't know if you know how it goes. I don't know if you think you're a Jenga all-star, but it goes Jenga, 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 Jenga. You take a block from the bottom and you put it on top. You take a block from the middle and you put it on top. I'm going to rap and rhyme soon. Be careful. Getting into my element. That's how you build a tower and you just don't stop. Okay, so we're going to play a round of Jenga and we're going to see who's the ultimate Jenga winner, okay? One piece at a time. Take a block from the bottom or the middle, put it on top, okay? Who's going to go first? Lydia, start us off. A little bit of speed. We can't be here forever, okay? Good, good. There's, oh. Yeah, cheer on your favorite person here. Yeah. Look at them go. No, no, I don't know. The floor is slanted, so you're at a disadvantage even more. Yeah, a little bit. Are you sure? Are you positive? Yeah, okay, you are. He's shitting the pastor. Whew. Boldness. Oh, look at the art. Look at the art. Look at the art. The finesse. Friends, speed it up a little bit. This might take too long. Oh, good, good, good. Keep it going. Keep it going. Way to go. Way to go. Hands are shaking. Yeah. Look at the pressure. Ooh. I hope you're not an engineer, because then we're all going to lose.
Kind of bad.
There we go. I don't know how well computer engineering. Okay, computer engineering. You're seeing it in three dimensions. Yes. Beautiful. The young are so swift. Their hands are so small and, whoa. Look at them go. Gets easier? I think it gets harder. Wow. All right, friends, speed it up. Rapid speed. Oh, look at that. Well done. Yes. Oh. You know, if they're really good, this game can go on forevermore. For the sake of the sermon, right? I like, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the sermon, I'll take the hit. Oh, my goodness. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Don't go anywhere, don't go anywhere. See, they were growing that tower piece by piece. We grow in the grace of giving until we're hit by some sort of financial crisis in our lives. We lose our job. We accumulate a debt that we struggle to repay. We fail to expect the unexpected expenses of our life. We get audited and we have to repay taxes to the government. Oh no. And we have cultivated a lifestyle where there's not enough income to support our expenditures. What do we do when this happens? When someone knocks it over, we stop. It's at that critical moment that many people stop giving and many people stop growing. But what must you do to play Jenga? You must start over putting blocks on top. Would you reconstruct that for me? Teamwork. Look at them go. So as they do that, this is what our life is like. Isn't that true? We go through life, we're building piece by piece. Things are going well. Life is going good. And then what happens? Crash. Everything falls apart and we stop and we quit and we say, that's enough. I'm not going to do it again. I just can't afford to see this happen again in my life. Friends, our lives are much like this game, Jenga. And I hope that illustration will just stick with you this morning as we dig into the text. Thanks, friends. Let's give them a round of applause today. Good teamwork. There's the engineer, just making sure, sizing it up. This morning, I want to share 5 goals for every believer that you would be inspired towards these 5 things according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 15, in order to grow in the grace of giving. And the first goal is this, the goal of extremity in giving. The goal of extremity in giving, verses 2 to 5. In the midst of a severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that each gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then by the will of God also to us. In describing the state of the church during this early period of church history, we can borrow from Charles Dickens the opening lines in the historic novel, A Tale of Two Cities, when it says, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. The Corinthians were rich in wealth and yet they were poor in generosity. The Macedonians were poor in wealth and yet they were rich in generosity. Paul draws the Corinthians' attention to these Macedonian churches, not as a source of comparison, but as a source of inspiration. Paul's saying, look at these guys in the midst of hardship. Look at what they're doing. It's important to remember that this is not just one single church. These are a collection of churches, the church in Philippi, the church in Thessalonica, the church in Berea. These 3 churches are the main churches that compose that church, that Macedonian church. And surely the Macedonians could have excused themselves that day by saying, if only we had more, we could give more. They were facing trials of their very own, and no one was taking up a collection for them. See, friends, it's possible to be poor in wealth, yet to be rich in generosity. The grace of giving is not just a specific dollar amount. It is giving with a joyful spirit. It is the disposition of the giver. And do not let the difficult circumstances of your life limit you from giving to the Lord liberally. Give even when it hurts to give. Verse 3 tells us that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. We can consider this to be an act of extreme giving. I want to encourage you this morning to consider giving yourself away to 2 very worthy causes. The first is this, give yourself extremely to God. If you have not given yourself completely and extremely to God, your giving will not mean very much. Yes, you can consider yourself a nice person. Yes, you can consider yourself a generous person doing good deeds unto others, but your giving will have no bearing, none whatsoever, on your spirituality. See, both the rich and the poor need to be totally surrendered to God. As Luke 10:27, the first half says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. You see, God does not just want your money. God wants all of you. Amen. Secondly, give yourself extremely to people. Give yourself extremely to people. Those who give themselves completely and extremely to God can only then give themselves completely and extremely to people. Can you see the image of God in the people beside you? Can you see the image of God on the people who walk the streets? When you see that image of God in the person, you'll be more inclined to give yourself extremely to them. I just think that's a game changer. Instead of just walking around and passing people by, when we look at them deeply, see God's imprint on their lives, that they are created in God's image, that they have worth and value, that changes the way we see them. Only then can we identify the who, the what, the where, the when, and the how of giving. And as the second half of Luke chapter 10, 27 says, to give yourself extremely to people is to love your neighbor as yourself. We're moving quickly. The second point this morning is the goal of excellence in giving. We find this in verses 7 and 8. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. We just finished another school year. It's finally done. All the students that are here are like, yes, summer, 2 months of freedom. And I'm sure parents are aware that this past week they received report cards. They received the progress, information, grades, comments. You've been tracking your child's progress year over year. And within that report card, not only do teachers provide a grade and a comment, they identify areas of weakness and progress, but they also identify areas of excellence. I'm sure there's many straight A students in our church. Paul offers the Corinthians a spiritual report card. He says, in regards to faith, A. In regards to speech, A+. In regards to knowledge, A. In regards to earnestness, A+. In regards to love, A. In regards to giving, C-. Sad news, they're not going to get that thing they've been longing for, that reward, that incentive. I know us parents, we bribe our children a little bit. The teacher's comments help qualify all of that data. And Paul suggests one particular area of improvement in their lives. Just like a teacher would write, each member of the church in Corinth is encouraged to take more time to cultivate the grace of giving in their lives. While no one is perfect, excellence in everything means excelling even in the area of giving. Paul does not command it. But instead, Paul compares this need for growth in excellence. We are not to compare the specifics of what we give. It's not like we level up each other. Hey, what are you giving? I'm giving this. And that we all have to give the same thing. That's not what God's asking for. I've heard of churches that are so controlling to the point that they ask their congregants to show them their T4 slip. I don't think you want to do that. This church doesn't do that. We're awesome. Friends, that is not the grace of giving. That is the law of giving. What we can compare is the earnestness in which we give. Do each of you have biblical convictions about giving? Do each of you give in such a way that it reflects these biblical convictions in your life? For those who are formal members of WPA, you have made a commitment and a covenant before God and before the people here to faithfully support this assembly with your financial giving. Have you done what you said you would do? It's both my role as your pastor to teach you, and it's the elders' role through accountability to encourage you to excel in the grace of giving. Thirdly, this morning, the goal of emulation in giving, the goal of emulation in giving. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. I love that Jesus is our model. He is the best model. He best exemplifies what giving is all about. Not only through what he accomplished here on earth, but in fact, by what he left in heaven to come to earth. The highest form of giving is not of your money, it is of your whole life. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, succinctly capture the humility of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen? So the reality is that Christians do not always have the same mindset as their Christ. And if they did, there would be no purpose for Paul to write these words to the Philippians and to write these words for us today. And if you do not have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, I tell you, it will be a struggle to grow in the grace of giving. Perhaps we've become too comfortable with how much we give. Without a perfect example in our lives, we would have no one to emulate and no one to aspire to. I believe we need this renewal of our mind today, and renewal of our hearts. Jesus sets a high, high bar for Christians. What if we took up that challenge to give as Jesus gave? Certainly, none of us could ever repeat what Jesus uniquely did for all of humanity, but we can emulate some things about him. We can emulate his character traits. We can emulate his humility. We can emulate his servanthood. My prayer for us today is that our lives would be more and more like Jesus's life. That our giving would look more and more like Jesus's giving. Paul ends his discourse then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 with this exclamation. I hope that you can say it too. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. He sets a beautiful example and model for us. Emulate him. Don't emulate me. Don't emulate other people. Emulate Jesus Christ, the perfect example. Fourth this morning, the goal of eagerness in giving. We find this in verses 10 to 12. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. If we look back into 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 4, Paul has concluded the first epistle that he wrote to this church by inviting the Corinthians to take part in a collection for the church in Jerusalem that were under duress. Scripture says now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. He's already told another church to do this. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. And if it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. This is what Paul establishes at the end of 1 Corinthians. And then Paul revisits the same topic, the same issue of giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 to 12, after one whole year has transpired. Let me encourage you in two areas as you consider eagerness in giving. The first is this: the goal of eagerness is to give first and not last. See, both the Corinthians and the Macedonian churches did a great job. They set a good example by being eager to give to God. And though one was rich and the other was poor, they both put God first and they responded to the needs of another church in Jerusalem. Sometimes I believe that you and I, we are tempted to wait. We're tempted to wait to see if somebody else will respond. Will somebody else meet the need? And if the need remains unmet, then we might be more inclined to respond then. You've heard me say it before, that delayed obedience is disobedience. What took more than 1 year should have only taken 1 month. And I believe Christians need to recover something so special. It's the sense of urgency in our lives. When there is something urgent, we need to respond urgently to it. We need to meet the need in order to grow in the grace of giving. Set a standard in your life of being a first responder. It's like being a firefighter or a part of a EMS unit that responds to the 911 call. Be urgent, be there, be present, be active. Set that standard in your life. The second is the goal of eagerness is to finish what was once started. The Corinthians started well, but they finished poorly. Commentators have suggested that there might have been some resentment in their hearts, in the hearts of the Corinthian believers, because they were likely giving the bulk of the collection due to their wealth in comparison to the Macedonian churches due to their poverty. They were giving a big portion of money. And when the eyes of comparison were, when they used the eyes of comparison, they were looking at these other churches and they were comparing themselves. They're like, what's going on? Why are we the only ones bearing the heavy weight? Unfortunately, in our lives, passion fades quickly. And due to the multiple demands upon our lives, what we are passionate about today is often not what we're passionate about tomorrow. The biblical truths that I preach to you even today, right now, will be difficult to recall tomorrow. Anybody empathize with me? I can't even remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday. Either I'm getting old, which I don't think so, not yet. I hope not. But I'm forgetful. And like Pastor Joel reminded us this morning, we need to remember. The encouragement is to leave nothing left undone. Let your yes be yes. Start well in giving and finish well in giving. While you can resort to extreme giving for a short period of time, commit to eager giving over a long period of time. The final point this morning, the goal of equality in giving. Verses 13 to 15. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. And at the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Isn't that awesome? The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. There is an aspect of solidarity among the body of Christ when it comes to our giving. I want to be clear this morning. God is not calling us to equal giving. God is calling us to equal sacrifice. That's the truth. And if each person does their part in giving, then the needs among God's people and in the community will certainly be met. It will be met and it will have some leftovers too. Furthermore, I think we should appreciate how the early church cooperated with each other. They were not in competition with each other. They were not edging each other. They were for each other. And if one church suffers, all churches suffer. Giving is motivated by the biblical imagery of the body of Christ. All of us here in this room are part of the body of Christ. All of us as churches around the world are like pieces and pieces of the body of Christ. And when one part suffers, the whole thing suffers. Giving creates a greater sense of equality among diverse peoples. And when geography and when culture separated the Corinthians from the Jerusalemites, it was their commonality in this one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that united all those people. Nevertheless, in 2 Corinthians 8, Scripture tells us the Corinthians needed some reassurance, and we need some reassurance today. Because we often take for granted what others have supplied for us, but then we oblige others to remember what we have supplied for them. Isn't that the fact? If the Corinthians were obliged to anyone, friends, they were obliged to Paul for preaching the gospel to them, and to Sosthenes and Timothy, who had co-labored with him. So my question to you this morning is this. It's a simple question. Is there any benefit that should be received for giving? When you give unto the Lord, when you're generous with God and you're generous with people, should you expect something in return? Although there is no physical benefit giving with the intention of getting, there is certainly a spiritual benefit. We can give with the intention and the hope of being blessed by God. And it's detailed in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 to 14. Listen to this scripture. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanied your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Friends, I want you to note this morning. Believers who receive what you generously give will praise God for you. They will praise God. They will say, thank you, Lord, for meeting my need. Thank you for the people that helped me out in my time of trouble. And then on top of that, not only that, they will pray for you. God, help them when they're in a situation, when they're in trouble. Lord, would you help them and meet their needs? That might not be the type of blessing you want to receive. But let me tell you, it is far more worth than, more infinitely worth than the money and the resources of this world. It is so much greater. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 to 8 remind us, for God, he loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times. Somebody say all things. And say all times. At all things, in all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. This is our all-sufficient God. He sees what we do and he meets our point of need. He is generous with us. Whenever you give and you see people with the eyes of equality, know that God's favor rests on you. God will take care of you according to his riches in glory. As I conclude this morning, the worship team comes. Last week, we took up a special offering at the end of our service for their Erdo Relief Initiative to feed South Sudanese refugees who have been displaced and are crossing into Uganda. And there's food scarcity in that area. And I know that we live in a cashless society in the sense we don't carry paper cash with us anymore. We have debit cards and credit cards and things like that. And it was a risk that morning to take up an offering without giving you advance notice. But after hearing the sermon last week, you responded with such great obedience. I just stood back and watched you as you come and you put money in. And later at the end, some of you went to the debit terminal. Some of you text to give and you brought a grain offering in the sense to the Lord. It was beautiful. I love being a part of a church that understands what it means to give. And not just to give a little, to give a lot. I'm so proud of you, church. So proud of you for raising $10,000 that will be matched. Yeah. In one Sunday, above your tithes and offerings, you gave $10,000. It will be matched in a ratio 4 to 1. That means a total of $50,000. $50,000. And let me break that down for you today. $105 will feed one person for 3 months. So to put that into perspective for you, together we will feed 476 people for more than 3 months. What we did last week was absolutely amazing. It just shows that you understand the heart of God, that you have those eyes of compassion. But friends, never stop growing in the grace of giving. There will be a shortage of needs, both locally and around the world. There's a shortage of needs every day, in all different places, different people, different issues, different circumstances. There is always shortage. There's always lack in the land. But God's people, when they come together, when they are united in purpose and plan, and they give generously to God, God meets every need. God is calling his friends to grow in the extremity of giving, to grow in the excellence of giving, to grow in the emulation of giving, to grow in the earnestness of giving, and to grow in the equality of giving. So my prayer for you today is, do not be stagnant in the grace of giving. Do not maintain in the grace of giving. Church, I charge you today, based on God's words, not my words, his words, I charge you to grow in the grace of giving. Let's pray.